What a story. So good to see you. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. We are beginning the new year, returning to our Who's on the Throne series, and returning to this book of 1 Samuel and the lessons that God has for us, for our lives, to inform our lives, to equip our lives. And particularly in this month, where we've pulled out a couple stories significant for vision for the year ahead. We've had a service dedicated towards prayer, a service dedicated to coming before God and interceding for the year ahead. Last week, we asked, what is it you need to succeed in the year ahead? One of the things we pulled out was, in order to succeed, you need to see things the way God sees things. And then specifically, you need to see people the way God sees them. And what man tends to focus on is the outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. And when it comes to how God views us, he looks at our hearts and how important our heart is before God and how important it is to see people for who they really are, for their hearts, not get taken in by all the external purposes, all the externals of life. So this morning, we're talking about facing our giants in 2019. It's another vision message from this 1 Samuel series, and it's about how we see our giants in light of faith. It's about gaining right perspective. So let me ask you, what's your giant in front of you? Is it a person? Is it that person at work who's a bully? Is it that boss who's really demanding? Is it that person who's in your family who always you just feel beaten up when you've been with them? Who's your giant? Is it maybe a health challenge? Is this what consumes you, this giant? Is it finances? Is it having enough for the year or the years ahead? What's your giant? You can tell what it is because it's something that looms over you. It's terrifying. It makes your stomach kind of curl. It makes your back hurt. It makes you short of breath. It's that topic when it comes up, or that person when they come in, where you experience those symptoms and you want to either escape or freeze and not be seen, or fight. Take a minute, maybe write it down. If you got a pen, you got some paper, who's your giant? What's your giant? Just think about it. It's important. If you're listening online, pause it, take a minute, write it down. What's your giant? Who is it? For myself, a giant I can feel, it's really funny as I thought about this, it can actually be my schedule. Isn't that weird? Like, I can feel so, like, torn apart, going different directions, pulled, pressures, not having enough. And it's like, it feels like an overwhelming giant at various different times. Monday morning's a good one. Gotta go do all these, yeah. That's something that's my giant. Now, what we learn from the scriptures is that God is far stronger than our giants. And when it comes to our battle, when it comes to your battles this year, what I really want you to grab a hold of is the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. It's not actually your battle. Let me reflect back. Hey, I just shared that my giant can feel like my schedule and all the different pullings. Am I alone in that? Am I truly alone in that? Not really. I got you guys as a support. I have my family. I've got friends as a support. I'm not alone. Is it my battle alone? No. God's going to have his way in my life. So how about your giant? Are you alone facing the giant? Or are you facing your giant with God? Whose battle is it? Is it your battle or is it the Lord's battle? This is one of those things where if you've been in the church a long time, you've probably heard this expression before. We're going to look at a life of extreme faith, of incredible outcomes. And if your life looks exactly like that, there's nothing to learn today. Maybe it's an encouragement. But what I sense is that we all have great room to see this year and the years ahead with great faith. And this is the life, this is why we're here, to get perspective. This is part of the church gathering. You're the church when you go out into the world, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the church. This building is not the church. This is where we gather to grow together, and we need to be informed together. And it's encouraging each other along as we gather throughout the week and living lives of faith. And this is why we're here. So, a story of all stories. This is always one of my favorites. It's probably my favorite story. My name's Dave. I always loved this growing up. So here's the scene. Nation of Israel, the whole nation is just trembling with fear. There's great anxiety. Their most dangerous enemy, the Philistines, are moving in. They're not only moving in, they're moving to a strategic place. They're going east, and their obvious goal is to capture the mountain ridge near Bethlehem. What that will do is split the Israelite kingdom in two. It will weaken them. They won't be able to get supplies back and forth. And here's the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines camp along the south ridge of the Valley of Elah, and the Israelites counter by setting up the camp on the northern ridge. And this is one of many great battles that have been fought here in history. It's a very interesting geological place where you're on both ridges, and then here's the valley. So if you go down into the valley and then try and come up against the opposing army, you're at a huge disadvantage. So there's this stalemate, this looking over, this Philistines moving in, and the people of God, they're all anxious. And then there's a scene, and behold, the giant. Like this, the story stops. It literally stops and describes the giant. That's why it's so important for you to know who your giant is. Sometimes we can just be afraid or anxious, however you want to call it. It's the same thing. We don't know what it is. It's important to know what the specific giant is we face. Here, it's very specific. Goliath. His name now is synonymous with being a giant. It's Goliath. This is the giant story. The Philistine champion. 9 feet tall. And I think people were shorter back then generally, weren't they? Isn't that what we kind of understand in history? And the gap would be even that much bigger. He wore a bronze helmet. The Israelites would not have had these tools. Like a bronze helmet, his armor weighs 125 pounds. That's heavier than some of us. He also wore bronze leg armor. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Just the head of the spear was 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. He stands there and he taunts. And this is so often what happens to us. And what happens to us is what happens to the whole nation of Israel. It says, verse 11, Saul, the king, and the Israelites heard the tauntings and were terrified and deeply shaken. Enter Sandwich Boy, the skinny young teenager, the youngest of young, gets sent to deliver sandwiches. Little David. And he goes and he wants to hear how everything's going on. Okay, who's fighting? What's going on? Okay. And then the big brother's like, you're so annoying. Get out of here. And but he's getting the details. And David goes, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? There is a new idea there in the story that no one else seems to get. That this giant isn't defying them. He's defying the God of Israel, the God of gods. And the details come out, and he says, don't worry about the Philistine. Just picture the Subway sandwich delivery guy. He's coming into your place of work. Whatever your greatest problem is, don't worry, I got it. You're just kind of like, right. Saul, the king, don't be ridiculous. Then there's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. David persists. Hey, I've been taking care of sheep and goats. I know what to do. In fact, in his faithfulness of his work, he confronted a lion, a bear, and he said, I've delivered them. And he says, I've done this to both lions and bears. I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. He has defied the armies of the living God. This is a theme that keeps coming up in this text. And as good readers of Scripture, you want to keep seeing what is the repeating words, the repeating themes, to get the central thing coming through and to really grab a hold of it with our life. And he says, the Lord rescued me. And that's the journey of faith and maturity and why it's so important to go through life relying on God, because you learn the lessons. If you just enter a life of faith, you know, at the end, you don't get the whole maturity of living a life of faith. And yet God meets us wherever we're at. But David knows this full well through his background. The Lord is a rescuer. He rescued me then, and he'll rescue me now. Saul, all right, go ahead. May God be with you. And Saul gives him his armor, and it doesn't work. It's not David. It's not who he is. He is more of a stone thrower. So he's a slinger, and he goes and he gets smooth stones from a stream, put them into a shepherd's bag, armed with the shepherd's staff and a sling. So there he's, this, you know, young, skinny teenager off to go defeat Goliath, the giant. And then Goliath walks out towards David, a shield bearer ahead of him, sneering, contempt, aggressive. Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his God. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. What would you do if someone did something like that? They're threatening to kill you. What would your reaction be? David replies, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, he doesn't say, I will conquer you. It's not in his vocabulary. That's not the center. Today, the Lord will conquer you. I'll cut off your head, and I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know the Lord rescues his people. Do you know that the Lord rescues his people? Do you know that the Lord will rescue you for whatever enemy, whatever giant you are facing? He will rescue you. This is something we're inviting God to speak into our hearts, to know more fully. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. There's this reversal. Goliath, give me someone to kill. David reverses it in the story. The Lord will give you to us. As Goliath moves closer to attack, David quickly runs out to meet him. He's running at his giant, reaches into the shepherd's bag, takes out a stone, hurls it, slings it, hits him right in the head, right in the forehead, and says it sinks in. The big giant, you know, there's just this big boom, right? He's tipping, the giant's tipping, and boom, there he goes. And David comes in, triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and stone, runs over, pulls Goliath's enormous sword out from its sheath, cuts off his head. This is more of a guy's story, isn't it? Guys are like, yeah, all right. Like, no, okay. So the champion's dead. Israel gets hugely encouraged. Look what happened among us. Look what we can do. The Philistines, they become fearful. Their champ is dead. They go off running. The Israelites pursue him. There's this great victory, and there's this huge deliverance of a whole nation. A giant is defeated. What do you need to take from this? I'm going to say some things, some lessons on giants. And I'm going to share some lessons on faith. And here's the thing of how God works, is he's just going to impress on you what you need to hear. And it's so good for us to just be absorbing what he would have us say and then go be the church. We're gonna gather, we're going to take some lessons. We've given him praise and song. We're also, at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to take an actual action of faith. At the end of the service, if this is your heart, we're going to just invite you to come up as an act of recognizing that the battles you face in the year ahead are the Lord's. It's an action of faith. And as you come up, we're just going to invite you to pray. We'll have some music going. We're going to invite you to just pray for each other. Pray for a stranger. Pray for someone you've known for 20 years. So that's coming at the end as a response, as a means of helping this sink in. So some lessons on giants. Our giants dominate our imagination. They can take over our whole vision. Things can be so good, and yet our giant can consume. It can feel like it consumes our whole life. Our giants can dominate our imagination, just like Goliath dominates the text for a time. But his day comes. He's a spectacle of fear and his glory in his own way. And these giants threaten our lives. They take the air out of our lungs. They sap our courage. What's a normal reaction to a giant? Fear. It's always the reaction in stories. This fearing a giant for what a giant could do to you. Our giants not only scare us, but they defy God. That's the thing in a life of faith, is when our giants say that they are bigger than God is. Another lesson on giants is that our giants are tiny in comparison to how big and grand God is. God is on your side. He invites you into his love, into community with him, into being the fighter of your battles. But you got to be inviting him to be God over your life. You can't be lined up on the other side of God, fighting against him, acting as if you're God or someone else is. You got to align yourself with a one true God. And in history, as he reveals himself through the nation of Israel and then to the world through Jesus. Our giants not only scare us, but they defy God. Verse 10, verse 26, verse 45. David gets that the giant defies God. So, some lessons on faith. David sees the giant with eyes of faith. And this is our encouragement this morning. Do you see your life with eyes of faith. It's the ultimate vision question for the year. Is your vision dominated by your giant or by God? Do you so have a grasp of who he is that you see the year, you see your giant, you see every situation for who God is and how he extends over the whole story? So we read about the stories of history. We're to read them as this book informs us for our lives. We're to read it over our story. So David sees his giant with eyes of faith, and his faith puts the giant in proper perspective. He's tiny compared to God. He's standing in opposition to God and his will. And David's faith shapes his feelings. Sometimes it's so hard to overcome our feelings because they just absorb us. Anxiety is something that can just take over. Think of Inside Out, the movie. You know, fear is running the controls. There needs to be a character of faith who gets what God, who God is. And faith, when faith's at the controls, the fruit of the Spirit's at work. When faith's at the controls, you know God's in charge, there's joy, there's peace, there's loving kindness, there's patience, there's goodness, there's self-control. Galatians 5:22. David's faith shapes his feelings. And this is where we need to hold up our shield against the evil one, against Satan, who would, as we understand, attack and destroy. This is what he does. He wants to defeat us. And holding up the shield of faith is saying no against all the negative thoughts that come into your mind. This is the work. This is the spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm that you cannot see. And it's something where the world can say, yeah, that's not a reality. Focus on the giant. Watch the news. There's giants. It can just feel like that. This is the dictating of the story, is the giants. Eyes of faith say there's a greater reality. Does heaven look down on us and go, the way you're thinking is right on par with all of existence? Sometimes, as the people of faith, or families of faith, we can discourage each other to not see things in light of faith. How sad. The whole nation of Israel wasn't seeing with eyes of faith, and yet a person led the way. That's what we need. We need examples, models of faith amongst each other. Because what does that do when you're living a life of great faith? And I see that. And I see you overcoming your giants. That encouragement of your life goes into mine. It spreads throughout a high school. It spreads throughout a young adults group. It spreads throughout a worship team. It spreads throughout a life group. It spreads throughout a home. When one person takes a stand against their giants, it says, God's got this. The way to do it is through thinking through our faith. And this is where we return to the Word, gathered and individually, where we turn to God to shape our thoughts. Our thoughts shape our feelings. Our faith shapes how we feel. David also refuses the methods of this world. He refuses something that doesn't work for him. It's so easy for us to just say, you got to do life the way I do it. The way that I know, or the world says, you got to do it this way. But David is true to who God has made him to be. God has made you very specifically, very gifted in a certain way, with a certain temperament, and to have courage to be who he's made you to be. That's the call. That's a lesson we learn in a life of faith, is to refuse the methods of this world, but to be true to God and who he has made you to be. David, in his faith, refuses to be intimidated by giants. There's got to be a defiance against these giants. I refuse to be intimidated by this giant. And not only that, he actually runs at his giant. He runs at his giant, knowing that God's behind him. He's not doing this alone. Do you know that the Lord is fighting your battles? Do you see the giants in right perspective? That's the crazy thing about this story that we really don't even grasp, is that who's more, let's put this giant in perspective. Who's more in this position of vulnerability, Goliath or David? David has a weapon that can go great distance. Goliath is expecting close combat. Not only that, but when it comes to Goliath being 9 feet tall, that's going to come quite potentially from a condition called acromegaly, a disease caused by a benign tumor in the pituitary gland. The tumor causes an overproduction of human growth hormone, which would explain Goliath's extraordinary size. A common side effect of acromegaly is vision problems. Why was Goliath led into the valley with his attendant in front of him? In a more exact translation, it says, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" I actually think of this version I read corrected it because it wasn't right. It might actually be that he can't actually see David. Who's at the disadvantage? Is it Goliath or is it David? Slingers were renowned. Irish slingers were said to be able to hit a coin from as far away as they could see. The book of Judges had an elite troop of Benjamin. 700 men were stood as renowned for they were left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Romans had special set of tongs for removing stones out of soldiers' bodies from slingers. They were renowned. They were extremely dangerous. Who is at the disadvantage? Sometimes we get our giants all wrong. We build them up to something that they aren't actually what they are. Malcolm Gladwell, we consistently get these kinds of conflicts wrong. We misread them. We misinterpret them. Giants are not what we think they are. The same qualities that appear to give them strength are often the source of their greatest weakness. So when it comes to your life, maybe your giants need some putting in perspective. And in light of who God is, our giants are nothing. And that's what this whole lesson of this story is. And it's something to really take with us and dwell on. I invite you, when we've told this story in the past, we've given out a smooth rock. We're in this town of two rivers. Maybe an action step for you is to go down to a river, find a smooth stone, or maybe five smooth stones like David. I heard Goliath had four other brothers. Take a stone at the river for each giant. Or maybe they're all frozen and you just need to find and scavenge by your house. There's one principle. Another thing is to take into account what Jesus did. Jesus has defeated our ultimate giants of sin and death. And he did it in a different way than David. He was known as the Son of David, the true and ultimate Messiah. And he modeled for us a defeating of giants, but he did it through laying down his life. He actually defeated our greatest giants of sin, all the mistakes you make and continually make, your human mess-ups, whether it's fear or anger or whatever you do that hurts people, that doesn't get it right. He paid the price for that. He defeated death. Death, people, death! He defeated death through laying down his life, through his blood shed on the cross to make ourselves right with God. and you become right with God if you accept that done on your behalf. And this is what how we know what love is. The Son of God would lay down his life for another, for you, for me. So the call this year is to accept the gifts that God has given and to accept the power and might. This is something we need to continue to tell each other Sunday morning, in our families, in our small groups. Let's make sure that we have enough contact with each other that the truths of God are being absorbed, that we're spurring each other on to take the next ground, to defeat our giants. God's calling us as a church to follow him, to equip each other for life and ministry, and to share the good news of the gospel. I'm going to pray here, and then I'm going to invite you, if this is your prayer, if you're willing, to come up front and just as an action, saying the battle is the Lord's. And we're going to, if you see somebody here, just pray for them. Pray that over them. And we're going to sing glory unto him. You can sing from here. You can sing from your seats. If you're not able to get up, God can hear your heart. But let's do an action together. Let's pray. God, we need to take time to gather the smooth stones from the river to defeat our giants. Lord, thank you for these great nuggets of truth in your word. You've preserved them over history. The story's like over 3,000 years old, and it's preserved for us to inform us for life. It's a faith posture, Lord, and it is a foundation like none other to have the Lord God, the creator of the earth, on our side, but even more so that we're in his army, looking to stand for righteousness, for justice, for goodness, for love, for the things that you are concerned about. Lord, we're sorry for the ways that we have been like the nation of Israel, the army of Israel, where we've seen our giants with faith. You know that's very natural in us. But we pray for extraordinary faith, like David. Thank you for this model of faith. Thank you for the models of faith in this church, in our home, those who've come before us. Thank you for them. We pray your blessing on them. We pray that you will give us strength beyond ourselves. That's what you do. That's what you do, Lord. So, we want to give you the giant that has been sucking our courage, that's been making our stomach curl and our back hurt. You know it's going to be repetitive, keep coming to you throughout the year, but we pray that you will be breaking through, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come down on us. We want to give you our burdens. We want to give you the burden of these giants. And we ask that you do what only you can do. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.